In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Well, just prior to our gospel lesson, Jesus is in Galilee. He's teaching and he's preaching and he's healing, just as he normally has been during his ministry. Now, he has just rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes on what actually defiles a man, because they were in there saying, oh, you didn't wash your cup, you didn't wash your hands, you didn't do this properly, you didn't follow this ritual properly, so you've just done everything wrong. But Jesus told them, said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Now Jesus will teach what should properly proceed from the heart. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus now desires a time for preparing his apostles' and his disciples' hearts for the finishing of his heavenly Father's work, which leads to the cross, the resurrection, and his ascension. So they travel north beyond the jurisdiction of the leaders of Israel, and they settle in the region of Tyre and Sidon, which are coastal ports on the Mediterranean Sea. There's a little bit cooler climate there, and it's not that they drove him away, but he really wants to spend some time with his apostles to prepare them for what is going to be coming. He has told them on several occasions, and there are actually three that are recorded in the gospel accounts, that we're going to Jerusalem, they're going to arrest me, they're going to beat me, they're going to kill me, but I'm going to rise back in 3 days. So he told them this, and it's kind of like the last time that it's very explicit. It's kind of like he's saying, all right, I'm going to tell you this one more time. Here's what's going to take place. So he wanted to spend some time with his disciples. And today, this is the area of the southern mountains of Lebanon. Well, they were there, and all of a sudden, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Well, clearly this woman is outside of God's covenant with his chosen people. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, this same account is there, but it's a little bit different wording. But, you know, we take the accounts that we find in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and sometimes in John, and we put them all together to get the entire story. So with this, that in Mark, it came right out and said she was a Greek. She's a Syrophoenician by nation, and that's a mixed race of Syrians and the Phoenicians. Well, clearly, she's a Greek, and more than likely, she spoke Greek. So she inhabited, they had this region of Tyre and Sidon. But he answered her not a word. He's not ignoring her. He does this for a very specific reason. Jesus was testing or proving her faith, while at the same time teaching the apostles the effect of diligent, fervent, unwavering approach to God. Jesus is teaching that the strength of her faith is comparative to her being tested or proved by Jesus. And you know, for those of you that know about scientific theory and things like that, that you need to test your theorems to find out if they are going to work. So with this, that Jesus wanted to test her faith, and he does it twice. He does this twice. Well, how about the silver that's tried in the fire? That's very representative of us, where we're tried by certain temptations that come out to us, and that we work through those, that we pray through those temptations, and it makes us stronger. If we succumb to temptation, we repent of our sins and we return to God, that we're made stronger through our failures. Jesus states that the mission of his ministry was that he was sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then the woman, bowing down in reverence, she worships Jesus. She cries out, "Lord, help me." Jesus replies, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." He was not being disrespectful, but he just told her, "I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And she's a Gentile. But now his ministry is being carried to the Gentiles. He continues to test her faith. She states, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And with this, there are a lot of theologians that say, well, this excess, these crumbs that fall from the table and they're on the floor, these are the abundant blessings that God has given the Israelites, and they just disregard them. So please, Lord, afford me a portion of what has fallen to the floor. She is saying, "I'm a heathen, being totally unworthy of your blessings. Yet grant me an exception of your almighty power to heal the despised daughter of a despised heathen mother." The woman's humility and persistence, well, it manifests itself in proving her faith. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, "The devil is gone out of their daughter, out of your daughter," because at the first of our gospel lesson, she came to him and said, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So we get just a little bit different wording in the Gospel of Mark. And along with this, with Jesus seeing her great faith, how many times have we seen and heard from scripture readings that Jesus tells someone, "Your faith hath saved you. Your faith hath made you whole." This is what we are being called to do, to have this faith and belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that he will bring us to him. We will be part of his heavenly kingdom. Well, Jesus has proved her faith. He told her that she did have great faith. But what Jesus actually saw in the expression of her faith are four specific things. First of all, Jesus saw faith that was properly directed. The woman turned from her religious heritage of empty gods and idolatry and her prejudices. St. Peter teaches, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other than the name of heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This woman is offering her faith. She's offering her life and she's offering her soul to Jesus. Jesus saw repentant faith. Repentance is the turning away from sin, the expression of sorrow for sin. Contrition is achieved by showing deep regret, being truly sorry for one's rebellion against God. The woman approaches Jesus being unworthy of his blessings, his mercy, and his grace. She comes in humility with a penitent heart, turning from her sin and creating a contrite heart. Jesus saw reverent faith. The woman cries, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou Son of David." The woman calls Jesus Lord, acknowledging his sovereign deity. Then she carries it just a step further, calling Jesus the Son of David, which acknowledges his messiahship. Jesus saw persistent faith. He tests and he proves the woman's faith as we see in their gospel lesson. She states, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Shallow, insincere faith is not the faith that Jesus calls us to exhibit. Jesus saw humble faith. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." True worship, worship of the heart, is always accepted by God. Humility is the characteristic of a meek heart that hungers and thirsts for the truth of God. So how do we approach Jesus? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The characteristics of our faith being that faith properly directed, a repentant faith, a reverent faith, persistent faith, and a humble faith, stand as our discipline in the practice of our faith. We observe and we meditate on these practices of faith, especially during our Lenten journey, so they will be incorporated in our daily lives, where we constantly prepare our hearts and souls for the hope and for the promise of our Lord's resurrection, as well as for His coming for us at the end of time, where He will invitingly cry out to us, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly do this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen.